25th, Blessed John of Chaitina and Peter of Duenas.
Martyrs, First Order. On a May morning, many years ago, the city of Granada was astir early. Men, women, and children, yes, the king himself, was awaiting the two Franciscan friars who would presently be dragged to the spot where they were to die because they had discussed and preached the faith they loved. The crowd thickened and the tumult increased as the hour approached. Meanwhile, John of Chaitina and Peter of Duenas were thanking God for the coming prize of martyrdom and giving their last moments to prayer. In his earlier years, John had been in the service of a nobleman of Aragon, living and rejoicing in the midst of every amusement which the world can offer to the young, with neither a thought nor a desire for anything higher and better. We are not told what led to his conversion. We know only that the moment came when he realized that he had been blind to the best of good things, and that the favor of God was the one prize worth possessing. There was no half-hearted surrender. At once and without counting the cost, John severed all ties and retired to a secluded spot where he could give himself wholly to penance and prayer and be taught by the Holy Spirit what God would have him do. It was not long before he was inspired to become a son of St. Francis. He was admitted at the Franciscan convent of Monzon in Aragon, and in due time was professed there. After an interval, it was decided that John should devote himself to the work of preaching, and for the necessary study, he was sent to Barcelona. Then the news came of the death of four martyrs in the city of Jerusalem. Their constancy and love awakened a great longing in the heart of John to die in such a manner for the sake of Christ. So he went to Rome to obtain permission to go to Jerusalem. The Pope gave him permission to preach the gospel to unbelievers, but bade him to go to the Moors in Spain instead of Jerusalem. Arriving at Cordova, he asked leave of the Father Provincial to begin his work, but for the time being, the superior deferred granting his request. Meanwhile, John applied himself to the normal convent life in a most edifying way. Finally, the long-sought permission came. John was told that he might leave for the missions and take with him any friar whom he deemed most likely to be helpful. John was inspired to take with him Peter of Duenas, a mere youth of not 20 years, who, inflamed with the same desire for martyrdom, had abandoned all the splendor of the court and joined the friars minor. In the world, Peter had been accounted a man who lacked reason and sense, but it was soon discovered that if he possessed no learning, nor even the power of acquiring it, he was in a rare degree gifted with virtue. This, then, was the companion John singled out from among the many older and more experienced members of the community. Together they went to Granada to fight the powers of darkness. They entered the city, announcing that they had come to have the people open their hearts to Christ, their Savior. The Caliph, however, had the friars summoned to his presence to learn for himself why they had come among his people. Simply, yet fearlessly, they declared it their sole purpose to preach the faith of Jesus Christ. The king sought to dissuade them from their purpose, but his flattery, as well as his threats, were of no avail. The constancy and courage of the martyrs could not be weakened. So it was that on that May morning of 1397, John and Peter were led out to die. The hand of the king himself severed the head of John from his body with one stroke of the sword. But even a heart like his had some commiseration for Peter. The king paused to give him one more chance at life, but the youth bravely withstood the temptation. Once more the king's hand was raised. The sharp sword did its work, and Peter's body lay bleeding on the ground while his soul mounted up to heaven. The bodies of the two martyred Franciscans were dragged in their headless condition about the city. Later, some Christians gathered their remains and entombed them with great honor in the Cathedral of Vic. Because of the many miracles performed by them throughout Spain, devotion to Blessed John and Peter was approved by Pope Clement XII. On the Joys of Heaven. The joys of heaven exclude all suffering. St. John writes of the inhabitants of heaven, quote, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and death shall be no more, nor mourning, nor crying, nor sorrow shall be any more, end quote. In the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 4. For that reason, the two martyrs, John and Peter, eagerly longed for martyrdom. All sorrow is at an end in heaven. Bear manfully the sorrows of this life, which are, after all, of short duration. The joys of heaven exclude all struggle. We cannot pass through this life without a conflict. The life of man upon earth is a warfare. Job chapter 7, verse 1. Always there will be the struggle against evil, always the struggle for what is good, always the struggle with our fellow men. But those who keep ever before their mind's eye the fact that heaven will bring eternal rest and blessed peace after this strife, carry on the struggle with joy. Do not grow faint on account of the warfare, but fight like a soldier of Christ. The joys of heaven consist principally in the beatific vision. We shall see him as he is. 1 John 3:2. What that implies, no human tongue can tell nor portray. To behold God in his eternal beauty and goodness, in his omnipotence and wisdom, in his charity and mercy towards men, and immersed in a sea of bliss which is God, who can comprehend that? Aspire, therefore, for what is eternal and heavenly, and often say, how loathsome is the world when I contemplate heaven. Prayer of the Church. May the eternal crown of thy martyrs gladden us, O Lord, and afford us an increase of virtue and faith. And may we be consoled by their manifold support through Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed John of Chaitina and Peter of Dueñas, pray for us. Thank you.